Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Dr. John DeWitt with the Goals, Health, and Success Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm really excited today. We have Ramona Braganza with us. She is a former Raiderette for the NFL's LA Raiders back in the day. And back then, she developed relationships with Hollywood's A-listers. She's gone on to become a trainer to the stars, working with a laundry list of who's who in Tinseltown. Her clients have included Halle Berry, Scarlett Johansson, Jessica Alba, and more. She has gone on to become an entrepreneur, published author, and philanthropist that is working on many, many projects. Ramona, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I'm excited to be here with you.
I am so excited.
And I have lots to talk about.
Good. Well, I know you can't, because a lot of the non-disclosure agreements, you can't really talk about a whole lot of things as far as what you're working on, but what are some of the movies that you have worked on in the past, and what are you working on right now?
Well, I'm actually sitting talking to you while I'm in my mobile fitness trailer, which is on the set of 50 Shades of Grey, which basically this is my project that I'm working on right now in Vancouver. And but the trailer and myself, we've worked on a lot of different things, from the A-Team to Fantastic Four to X-Men to many big budget films require the use of a trainer and a trailer. So that's pretty much what I've been doing when I'm in Vancouver. And then other than that, in California and Hollywood and everywhere, I'm working a lot with people that have gyms in their homes. So Halle Berry, Jessica Alba, Michael Weatherly, I go to them.
Very nice. And now tell us a little bit more. I've got in the show notes the link to your the trailer. It's mobilephysique.com. Can you tell me a little bit how you came up with that idea? That's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, it was actually during the very first X-Men, and Hugh Jackman wanted to do some working out during the day, you know, to keep his Wolverine size on. So we actually had another trailer for that show. And during that time, I kind of looked around this trailer and I thought, wow, it's very bare bones. And so when the second X-Men came along, my business partner and I decided, let's build our own. And so really within 3 months, we created this fitness trailer, and it went to work on that show and just kind of continued for a while. So it's been 10 years that we've had it, and it's kind of like my baby, and I love going in there and spending time in there, and we've got everything from a boxing bag to Pilates reformer to weights to lots of space for functional movement, which is something that I really believe in. So,
very nice. And do the studios hire you directly, or how do the people go about getting in touch with you to do that?
Yeah, usually it's word of mouth, and usually if there's a show that I know that's got a lot of action in it, then I'll submit sort of a resume. And so usually, I don't know, it just sort of happens. But if you are in need of a trailer, mobilephysique.com, and we're going to also load up a Facebook page. So,
very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. So I just want to backtrack just a little bit so people that aren't familiar with you can kind of get your story. So you're originally from Canada, yes?
Yes, I grew up in Canada, and I moved to L.A. probably, like you said, when I worked for the Raiders in the mid-'80s. That was sort of my foray into that scene. But I grew up in Canada, and I was born in Germany, and my parents are from India. So a little bit of traveling.
Very nice. And so it's kind of a neat story about how you became a Raiderette. Can you share that just a little bit as far as, like, the crew you came down with and all that?
Sure. I was always, when I was young, I always really wanted to be an actress in Hollywood. That was sort of my goal. And I did a lot of, I guess, visualization from a really young age. I wanted to leave and enter that scene somehow. I really didn't know how. So I was a gymnast when I was young, from 4 to 18. I did gymnastics. And after that, I began dancing, a lot of dance auditions. And I auditioned for the CFL, the Toronto Argonauts. And at that time, a couple girlfriends were going to L.A. for a holiday. So I went with them. Decided that was where I wanted to be in the NFL, managed to try out and make it on the Raiders, and cheered for 10 years. during that time, I did a lot of fitness contests and a lot of just sporty things. I guess I was one of the few girls on the team that really enjoyed that, and it sort of ended up giving me my first job with Jessica Alba as her trainer. So that's sort of how that all happened.
And was that on Dark Angel?
Yeah, it was on Dark Angel, and I met the producer. He knew I worked a lot with girls that just, you know, in different fields, and so he thought I could teach her some gymnastics for Dark Angel, and it was being filmed in Vancouver. So that worked out really well because I ended up coming back to Canada, and so I based myself out of Vancouver and L.A. and go back and forth.
Very, very nice. And so now I know you came out with the 3-2-1 Baby Bulge Be Gone program. What gave you that idea, and what exactly is involved? Kind of give us an overview of what that is exactly.
Sure. That's a program I used with my new moms, and it came from the 3-2-1 training method, which was the workout I was doing with Jessica when I was training her for Dark Angel. So at that time, I thought, let me figure out exactly what to call this sort of workout we do, and it was 3 cardio, 2 circuits, and 1 core. And we really broke the cardio up from 1 long segment into 3 segments, mostly because when you're working with an actor, you don't know how much time you have to train them. So sometimes it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you don't want to start with something that takes up all your time, and then you don't have time for the strength training. So anyway, I broke it all up. It worked for her. It worked for other actors. And then the next thing I know, Jessica tells me she's having her first baby. So now we took that same workout and I adapted it to postpartum workout for her. And we got her back in shape in 12 weeks. And it was all due to the 3-2-1 Baby Bulge Be Gone.
Okay. So the first book actually was the Feel Fit, Look Fantastic in 3-2-1. And then it became the Baby Bulge Be Gone after that, the second book.
Yeah, and actually what it is I have a DVD series. So before even the books, I put out a DVD series that began with Baby Bulge Be Gone. I had a lot of requests wanting to know how Jessica and Halle Berry got back in shape. So I really started all of my, I guess, you know, products, whatever you want to call it, with a DVD series for Baby Bulge Be Gone. And from there, I put down the formula for the training method. And then I wrote my first book, Feel Fit, Look Fantastic. And that book is actually only in India currently. And the second book will come out, Baby Bulge Be Gone, which will be worldwide. So it's just, you know, I kind of go with the flow and see what the first thing is. It's organic. And then I can really relate to the topic and create what I need to.
Very good. And people can get the DVDs on your RamonaBraganza.com, correct?
Yes, they can go to my website for everything, really, for the DVDs and the book. And then as soon as the Baby Bulge Be Gone book is completed, that will also be available. I also have nutrition, because for me it's 50%. Definitely eating right is 50% of the equation. Is that what you feel, John, or what do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, being an ex-athlete, I was always training so hard, and when you're working out really, really hard, my personal experience is that you don't have to be super strict with your diet, not nearly as much, because you're burning so many calories. And I always had a problem trying to keep my weight on, so I just tried to eat as much as I could all the time. But then after I stopped playing, I realized that it was no longer the case, because the activity level goes down, and then you kind of have to start being a little more strict on what you eat. So it's just the learning processes.
Yes, but, yes. No, and then I found, too, you know, cheering, you're always going to practice and you're just always on the go. And in your 20s and 30s, you seem to be on your go a lot more. But I think it's just, you know, if you're ending up in a sedentary job and not walking as much, then the calories can really add up.
It's true, and you always plan on getting back in the gym, and then that never seems to happen. Or you go like once or twice, and then you're like, oh, and then something comes up, and you just have to make it a habit and part of your life instead of just kind of, oh, I'm going to do this for a little bit until I get in shape. It doesn't really work that way, unfortunately.
Correct.
So what are some neat stories? It has to have been really kind of a really interesting life experience, being able to train and work with all these different celebrities, and I mean, I've seen you with a lot of these people, and I mean, you realize that they're just people like everybody else, and they just happen to be doing this particular job where they're out in the public and the media, you know, just goes crazy with it and stuff. But do you have any cool stories like with any of the people that you've trained that you could share?
Yeah, I mean, it's always funny stuff that you can't believe sort of happens when it happens. For example, I took Jessica Biel once around for a walk around Stanley Park, and we somehow got separated. So I backtracked, and she went forward, and now it was getting dark, you know, and it's an hour and a half around that park walking, and she's walking by herself, and it's getting dark, and I think she even ended up phoning with, back then they had pay phones, called her dad in Denver, and was sort of sad and crying on the phone, worried, and I grabbed Ryan Reynolds, who was on that show at the time, was Blade, and I called him, and I said, I think I've lost Jessica Biel in the park, and so we drove around the park looking for her, you know, through the, everywhere, and we did find her at the end, but it was just very traumatic, and, you know, things like that happen that you're just going, maybe we should have had a phone, but we didn't have phones back then, you know, so now it's definitely good to have the communication. And yeah, just, you know, I guess when I first started with Jessica as well, nobody really recognized her. And then within a year, everybody recognized her. So to see kind of the rise of how that happens is really kind of fascinating. And I traveled with her for 7 years alone, just her and I, nobody else. And we were in, a lot of different countries and situations together. And yeah, at the end of the day, everybody's pretty much the same. It's the circumstances that surround them that can make the, you know, situation different. But Halle Berry and I,
puppies too.
Yes, I actually got one of her dogs, Nancy, the pug. She was so sweet to give it to us when my mom had some heart surgery, and so it really helped with the recovery. And then she said, well, you can keep Nancy. So that was a gift from her for 12 years, and I really, you know, love that she's got that heart in her. And I've been very fortunate. All of my people I've worked with have been very, very caring and giving and special and sweet. And so I'm very lucky, I think.
Well, I think that's because that's how you are too. You're very, very unassuming. You don't like drive around in some super fancy car or anything like that. You're just there to get the work done. And I think that's what they appreciate about you, is you just know how to get it done and know what works, what doesn't work. And you're just kind of like, this is the deal. And I realize sometimes you kind of have to be almost like a babysitter kind of thing, or like a sister figure to kind of help make sure they're doing what they need to do, because you have to get them in the shape they need to be in for particular roles. And sometimes you need them to be all big and muscly, and then sometimes you need them to be like skinny. And I'm sure that's kind of a challenge. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, like the different body types that they want for shows, you do have to know a bit about training. You know, you have to know the results of your efforts, I guess, and everything from, I include yoga type, dance type, strength training. So that's really what my 3-2-1 is about. It's really incorporating core and cardio and circuit training. And, you know, it's interesting because circuit training and strength training for women is such a confusion for many ladies. They don't know about lifting heavier or lifting really light and what that can do. And so, you know, just like, you know, the ins and outs of probably your body from chiropractic medicine.
Right.
It's very important to know what you're doing. So I always encourage new trainers to learn everything. Like I took kickboxing,
right,
and I'm scuba diving. I mean, everything has some result on your body, and it's good to know what that is by participating in it yourself rather than just viewing it.
Right. No, I was just going to ask, is there any way, if people that are interested in joining like a certification program or something like that, is there any way they can go? Is that also on your website?
Sure. Yes, you know, I have certification programs. I have retreats. So if anybody wants to spend some time with me, I have several retreats coming up that are, one is in Austria and one is in going to be in India, because I've been taking my business around the world as far as trying to educate many countries on exercise in a fun way, because nobody wants to go and have to do it. There's fun ways to do it in every place. So I've been to Egypt, I've been to India, and I think for me, courses and retreats, they're a great way to get one-on-one with people. So, and in India especially, I've been working with a project, a group of young girls that I have a really passion to turn them into trainers. So I think there's a big growing business in fitness, and women should be a part of it, and I'm hoping to help with that.
And I'm sure you're going to do a great job, because I know that you've been over there and have helped a lot, and have really got a really big, big, exciting thing growing there, and I really think that's going to take off. With the retreats that you do, what exactly is involved with those? Is it like a workout? You go out and go outside and do training with you and learn about nutrition too, or is it like at a resort? Or
of course.
And you also have a cruise coming up here.
Cruise. It's being scheduled for March. I'm hoping to do it actually with my business partner here in Vancouver. So we're going to sort of partner up and give you the, it's a cruise to lose and gain your Hollywood body experience. So he's going to be sort of leading the guys, and I'm going to lead the women. And there's everything from the workouts to the meal plans to, I'm a yin and yang kind of person, I believe. Yoga is a big part of the program, and having fun, doing some fun cardio activity, you know, whether it's hip-hop dance or funk or whatever. But it's going to be really fun. It'll be in March. I'll put that up on my website. And that's pretty much, you know, when I go into a place, whether it's a resort or whatever, it's a 3-5 day type of deal. And I do one-on-one sessions as well, so...
Oh, nice. What do you do in the one-on-one sessions? Just like training, or the whole thing with nutrition and everything?
Yeah, I have them do a 3-day food journal, which, you know, that's really important, seeing what somebody eats
Absolutely.
For 3 days, and not cheating on it. And then you kind of assess that and you give your opinion. With the exercise, it's really the same idea. Like, what have you been doing for the past while? And let's see if we can add something to that or modify it. I like to kind of take people's base and then build on it. I don't really feel it's, unless someone's never done any kind of exercise, many people have their program and it has to fit into their lifestyle. And then you have to take it up a notch. So I'll do an assessment. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny because what exactly is included in your assessment?
So, other than, you know, pretty much from everything from flexibility to strength to the program that they're using now, and whether it's functionally based as well, whether there's core, what their cardio is like, what their heart rate gets to, and then... I mean, for me, the biggest mistake probably is the technique and form, because much of that suffers when people are doing their workouts. And so I'm all about correct form and correct, just the correct program for what you're trying to achieve, and whether you have weight loss or whether you have structural issues that are stopping you or, you know, it's a very, I am a very feeling person. So if I see someone and I start to feel and hear their story, then I can really prescribe better.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's funny too, is especially being a guy in the gym, you always see people that they're all about, oh, I want to be able to lift the most weights. And I mean, they're just flopping around like a fish on the bench press or something like that, because they just want to get the weight up. They don't care if they're using the right form or not. And that's always tends to lead to all kinds of fun injuries that you get to deal with later. So that's never good. We have a lot of those people end up in the office, though, so it's okay.
Yeah, and I, I had some good instructors when I was in L.A. in the 80s when I was starting out. Venice Gold's Gym was sort of the place to be, and I was around that scene, and I did a lot of bodybuilding contests, and I had a trainer, and he was just like, you know, he was this real dude guy. Come on, Ramona. And he would train a number of football players and myself. So Howie Long trained with him. And then he'd have me, and I would be squatting with these guys really heavy. And, you know, I saw what it did to my body, which it made it very strong and perfect for the contest. My legs got nice and thick. And then when I get an actress that wants to be not quite like that, I also had great instructors in dance. You know, I had great instructors in dance. I had great instructors in yoga. And I learned from them, and I was able to change my body in ways that would... So then that way you can translate it eventually to your clients and say, what's your goals? And sure, let's do this to do that. So That's all what it's about.
Right. And with the dance, now correct me if I'm wrong, but did you are you Paula Abdul, did you, was she a Raiderette?
She was a Laker girl, so that was close.
Oh.
And then she was actually, you know, at the same time when we cheered, she was around. And here's a funny story. The one time that we did run into Paula was on a show called Full House. So
right.
There were five of us, five Raiderettes, and we appeared on Full House, and we had the whole day at the studio with John Stamos and everybody, and she was dating John at the time, so she popped in on set. And we're like, oh, Paula. We had a photo with her and John, but this was back then, and she went on to do lots of choreography. I ended up doing choreography mostly for the NFL Europe League, which is where I met you. So
right, yeah.
I was, yeah, yeah. And, yeah,
that
so
was,
dance
that,
has
that
been
was, a...
Huh?
Yeah, dance is definitely a big part of it. I know that's something that you... You know, it just goes back to, you know, what does the studio need this particular character to look like? And clearly you've had instances where, like in one part of the movie, like in a movie, something like Castaway or something like that, where Tom Hanks has got to be really heavy and then he has to lose like 80 pounds. Have you ever had a movie where you've had to like deal with something like that?
Well, I've never had to take someone from super. What they do is they actually reverse the filming on that. So when you see somebody big going to small, it's usually the smallest filmed at first, because it's very stressful during the 3 months of shooting to really morph your body in a different way. So what they do is they start with the hardest thing first. So let's say you have to be say really skinny is hard for people, and they have to basically starve themselves for a couple weeks before they shoot. So in Castaway, or in the one that Hugh Jackman was in, Les Mis, you know, that,
yeah,
that was all him being skinny at the beginning of the film. So they'll shoot those scenes first. And then, you know, when they get to eat again, it's great, because you can't really act and have brain power without glucose, without food for the rest of the movie. So you start eating. And so now you film it backwards.
Right. So tricky. The little magic they do to trick everybody to make mistakes and all this happen in a particular order. It's funny because I've heard, I remember when we all went to dinner with Michael Weatherly that one time up in L.A., and it was so funny because he was talking about doing a show with, I think it was Pamela Anderson, maybe? Or no, it was, now I can't even remember. What?
He, the guy from, a movie
the guy from Two and a Half Men? Yeah, it was a...
Oh, Charlie
TV
Sheen?
Show. Right,
oh,
his ex-wife.
Oh, you know what, it was his ex-wife, right. Can't remember.
Yeah.
So when Michael Weatherly said the very first scene they had to shoot, he walks in the room and she like drops her towel and she's like naked standing there, and I was just like, that's an interesting way to have to meet somebody.
Yeah, Denise Richards, that's who that was.
Yeah.
So
well, you know what? They're very professional. You know, I think you have to be pretty professional, because everybody has relationships outside of their acting life, and they have to go home in the evening to their relationships, you know, and I think it's an incredible amount of, brain sort of mental commitment to the role. And I've worked on the A-Team with, you know, Liam Neeson and a number of actors, and they have a very full private life, but when they come to set, they have to embody this character, and it's very much what they do. That's why they are the A-list actors, and they're able to sell it.
Too, it's not like it's not just like it's the two of them in some little room. There's a whole crew of people all around that you just can't see because they're not on camera. So it's not like it's, you know, some weird thing. I thought that was a funny story, talking about how you shoot things out of order. I'm like, wow, you haven't even met yet. Okay, that's interesting.
Oh,
but,
that's funny. Yeah.
So,
hello, nice to meet you.
Exactly. So can you tell me more about the 3-2-1 Empower, the charity event with the young ladies in India.
Sure.
Is there any way that people can contribute to that or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, I have a donation site with Generosity, and actually if you go to generosity.com and you can type in the search 321 Empower, then you
okay.
will be put onto my page, and there's a video showing exactly what it is I'm trying to accomplish, and it has some images of the girls and the creator of this organization called Prerna, and Prerna is really who I'm partnering with. So they rescue the girls from the red light district in Mumbai, and they mm-hmm. keep them in a safe house, and in that safe house, it's a place for them to sleep and eat and be around each other. They go to school, and then they also get taught some skills. And the skills, they're okay, but as I was releasing my book in a number of gyms, I did a lot of book tour, and it was always in Fitness First and a number of gyms that are coming up that are very high-tech, and I noticed there were no female trainers, and that really confused me because, you know, as far as I've known, there's always been equal amount of men and women,
right.
And so they really said that there's just not that business as yet. So having met these girls and seeing they're between the ages of 8 and 16 right now, and many of them had never exercised in their life, I kind of gave them, I raised a little bit of money, and I gave them some running shoes. They loved the running shoes. We did a workout. They were so excited, and then I kind of thought about it, and I thought, well, why couldn't they be trainers? So I've started them with a course by the NAFC, and they should be done within another couple months. I'm hoping to graduate one or two of them at least to make them my master trainers. And
okay.
hopefully we go out to other locations that have groups of girls with no job skills, and we will train them to do the training. Well, they're really learning a group instruction course right now, which will include any kind of aerobics activity, or hopefully I'll introduce them to the strength training next, and then the yoga or anything like that that they could teach. So,
okay, and that's generosity.com, you said?
Yes. Yeah.
And
it's fundraising in a... Yes, and I'm fundraising in a way what's very... I'll raise some money, I'll take some money over, then we'll buy some equipment. I want to put some equipment into a small room and turn that into sort of a gym for them so they can go there and work out. And eventually, it would be great if they can open the gym to other women in the neighborhood and start a little business. So that's
right.
sort of the next step.
That's kind of neat. And I just thought of another interesting story that I'd heard from a while ago. We're almost out of time here, but I remember, were you in London during Thanksgiving, and Scarlett Johansson made Thanksgiving dinner for everybody?
Yes, because she's such a great cook, and she was so sweet. You know, she wanted everybody to feel what Thanksgiving is like, and she cooked for probably 25 people, her and her assistant, and I don't know how they did it. I was like, they did it in one day, and that would take me a week. So they made everything, and at the very, she stood up and she thanked everyone for being there, and she said, you know, Thanksgiving is a special time, and here's what we do. We usually go around the table and say what we're thankful for, and everybody had to kind of say that, and it was just so sweet. And so I thought, yeah, you know, everybody wants to just be like everybody else, normal, and enjoy the holidays, and, you know, and then they have that other thing that goes on, the paparazzi and the fans,
right.
But it's really cool to be there for stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember hearing that story, and I thought that was really a nice thing to hear, that people are, you know, just people, and they want to help everybody out and do normal things. I mean, that's even above and beyond normal, and cooking for so many people, and definitely not the diva persona that some of these actors have. So I thought that was kind of nice to hear.
Yeah, super nice. Super great.
Yeah. So do you have anything else going on right now that you need to talk about? You got about 30 seconds.
Nope, other than just going to meet my mechanics technicians who are fixing my trailer right now. The heating is not working. It is very cold in Vancouver, and so life goes on. And thanks so much for having me on your show, John. I really appreciate it. And if anybody's out there, please give to my charity. That would be great.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for being on the show, and hopefully we'll have something else coming up in the future, and we can talk about that.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Ramona. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.